Greetings and welcome to Mr. Sledge's Neighborhood. On this week's episode, Samsung tries to woo back people with their brand by offering free VR and a controller with a pre-order. Games Workshop releases another box set with 40k figurines and scenery. And I review Mass Effect Andromeda. Then the Wheel of Destiny decides that we need to talk about the changing face of video game retail. But first, a word from this week's sponsor.
Today, room service. She makes breakfast every morning.
Want to surprise her in bed in the morning, but need a little help getting it up?
Even if you might not want to, you can't help but wake people up.
Sometimes it takes more than an alarm clock to be an early riser.
Great. Voila.
You made me breakfast in bed.
That's Viagra-laced Folgers, because the best part of waking up is Folgers getting it up. And I hope these don't explode in my pocket news. Pre-orders for Samsung's Galaxy S8 and S8 Plus smartphones are available now, and the company is throwing in a gift if you pledge your money before the handsets launch April 21st. When you go to Samsung's website and pre-order either smartphone, you get a free VR headset and new motion controller Samsung developed with Oculus. It's a good deal because you're getting a $170 bundle, the 130 gear VR Plus, plus the $40 motion controller for free. If you choose to get the free gift, you'll also get a content bundle from Oculus that you can redeem as a digital download when you receive your order. If you want to splurge, Samsung has an offering of a $99 Gear VR Immersive Bundle, which includes Gear VR headset, the motion controller, and a pair of AKG headphones, and a 256GB microSD card. All these items separately would cost about $530 retail, so getting Samsung's bundle for just $99 is a pretty good deal. You'll be able to pick up one of these additional gifts if you pre-order the S8 or S8 Plus before April 20th. So if you're wondering, who would be silly enough to pre-order a phone just to get an Oculus-branded VR set? This guy is. So yes, I will be getting the new Galaxy 8S, not the Plus. I don't need anything that big. Phone. Samsung is offering this only for a limited time, and at least until they run out. You know, who knows? Maybe I won't even get it. But it seemed like I'm guaranteed one. I'm hoping I'm guaranteed one. In Remember When I Said Necromunda Was Coming Back News? You don't? Well, I have multiple times. Games Workshop is releasing a new box set next week, and while it still uses the same 28mm scale as 40K, it brings the new rules of to a kill team setting. Welcome to Armageddon, gamers. This war-torn hive world is beset on all sides by every 40k faction out there, doing battle deep within the depths of Hive Acheron. Here, small kill teams of the galaxy's greatest killers stalk each other throughout the industrial depths for both glory and survival. This game arrives with a giant heavy cardstock box filled to the limit with sprues and rules. Yes, there are 10 Marine Scouts and 11 Orc Boys, but why you came here was the terrain. It's dripping with detail and enormous in scale. You have all the terrain you need for a basic kill team game, but there are more a la carte kits on the way. The terrain is fully modular and promises some amazing boards. The rulebook opens with 10 pages of background in the world Armageddon, then dives into a 50 page of core rules. Following that, you get rules for creating kill teams, running campaigns, and missions. The game is indeed very, very similar to Necromunda. The local games of Armageddon are mentioned in passing, and after a thorough study of the rules side by side with Necromunda, I can say that yes, you should be able to generate old school gangs and put them into a fight against new competitors. The gameplay is itself a time warp back to the glory days of Necromunda, with its fast pace, frenetic action, bottle checks, permanent logs of your kill team's progress, kills, injuries, equipment, and glory. Get ready for a wholly different gameplay experience from Warhammer 40,000 and enjoy the opportunity to start a new kill team with the purchase of a single box of 40k minis. That is, if you can find it, because it's sold out within an hour, on Saturday? Yeah, kinda crazy.
I'm sorry, I know that was important, but you perform Gilbert and Sullivan?
I am the very model of a scientist Salarian. I've studied species Turian, Asari, and Batarian. I'm quite good at genetics as a subset of biology because I am an expert which I know is a tautology. My xenoscience studies range from urban to agrarian. I am the very model of a scientist Salarian.
So in this week's review, I'm going to talk about a game that's become oddly controversial, Mass Effect Andromeda. BioWare's newest entry into their space opera puts you in the shoes of a Pathfinder whose job it is to find habitable worlds to colonize in M31, the Andromeda Galaxy, for an organization known as the Initiative. Almost all the familiar species from the Milky Way have boarded ARCs shortly after the events of the first Mass Effect game. They co-opted Geth Tech to chart their course across dark space to an entirely new galaxy. The transit only takes about 600 years, give or take a few decades. Of course, right away, things go awry. There's a strange dark interstellar phenomenon called the Scourge, and it's messing up the entire Helios cluster, throwing worlds out of orbit and messing up space travel. All the Arcs are lost to the original group of explorers who set about building the Nexus, an Andromeda equivalent to the Citadel. Now, I won't ruin the story. Needless to say, there are native Andromeda species and lots of allusion to the Mass Effect universe. But what you want to hear is what I think of it, and is what everybody's saying about the game, be it critics or consumers, true? Well, in short, yes. Let's get the bad out of the way first. There are numerous graphical and animation glitches ranging from poor camera placement to objects and people sometimes popping in and out, and there are even some clipping issues. The facial animations and NPC movements can be downright ridiculous. No, you can't save anytime you like. There is a mixture of checkpoint and manual saves that can be frustrating at times. As for the different but not really bad part of the game, the combat now has a verticality due to it in the addition of a jump pack. However, it just doesn't seem quite as fluid or as clean as previous titles, and getting behind cover takes practice. But when you get the mechanics, it works, and it works fairly well. For what I think the game has going for it, the maps are much, much larger and much more interactive. The world becomes rather sandboxy and has a plethora of environments which range from fractured worlds with low gravity and intense radiation to ships whose internal gravity keeps shifting and you have to adjust how you move in order to compensate. Settlements grow how you dictate, and the Nexus evolves to your specifications. There is no Paragon or Renegade meters, but instead, you get what is essentially a personality response range that goes from logical to snarky to even heartfelt. It allows for much more dynamic character in theory, but sometimes you do get binary results. This might bother me more if it wasn't so well written. Now, I can hear some of you saying that have played this game that the dialogue is cheesy at times and the story is a bit stilted. To that I say, so what? It still is heads or tails better than 90% of the games out there. Now, some things did annoy me. The forced religious arguments were banal and superfluous. When someone's response to a metaphysical counterpoint is, well, we'll have to agree to disagree, it just means that they have no legitimate argument to make. Despite some of these moments, I still found the majority of the dialogue of the game fun and nuanced. The story, or more accurately, stories, are great after the initial 2 hours of the game. Now, I'm the kind of player that likes to explore, and this is a game that rewards that. I spent hours upon hours reading planet descriptions and admiring planetary composition. Every time an anomaly pops up, I think, oh boy, this will be fun. What will it be? A lost satellite? Asteroids to mine? There's lots to do. A lot to see. And even for a little cluster in this new galaxy, a lot to read. I read every codex. I love deeper tie-ins to the original trilogy. This game nourishes me. Yet, I have to touch multiplayer. Haven't really played it yet. Gotten plenty of invites. Too invested in the universe right now to actually care about multiplayer.
Not helping, Liam.
I know. It's stupid. It's everything.
Save it. I need you to stop hoping things will work and stay on task.
You turn on each other.
We have a bad plan to rescue people, and we're doing it. Any questions?
Nope.
Good. I shot the console. Think he'll be mad? What more could he do?
Well, it looks like we've come to the point of the show where I have to spin the Wheel of Insanity. So here we go. Wheel of Insanity, turn, turn, turn. Tell me the topic, which I shall burn. Right? Right, whoa, whoa. Huh. Well, that's interesting. It says, talk about the past and future of video game retail. Whoa, boy. Man, do I have some history here. Back in grad school, I needed beer money. Believe it or not, the stipends that university gave out weren't much to live on, and I needed a side job. I was a valet for a restaurant in Milwaukee. It was pretty nice. The job didn't pay that much, but during the summer, I could get a lot of tips. I could also read on the job, which helped me knock out some academic work while getting paid to watch the street. But the management bugged me, so while walking to school one day, I noticed that an electronics boutique was being built in Grand Ave Mall. I knocked on the glass and asked if the new Dragon Ball Z sagas came in. Yes, I'm that guy. And wouldn't you know it, they had it. I had to wait for them to plug in their register, but sure enough, they took my money, and then they offered me a job. I told them my situation, but the district manager said he could work with it. I worked as a lowly grunt for about 2 weeks until I was promoted to a keyholder position, which they allowed me to quit parking cars, which was great. Then something weird happened to me. I started having fun at work. Very weird. After I finished my master's degree, I got married. And then I moved to Indianapolis and I decided to take a break from academics. My old manager rang up a guy in Indy, and in 3 months I had my own store. While this was happening, a small Texas-based video game retailer named GameStop took on a ton of debt and bought a much, much larger electronics boutique, along with Babbage's and Funko Land and a handful of other smaller stores. This was the birth of a juggernaut, but this was still a world where Blockbuster was seen as a major player in video game retail, and GameStop had management positions to fill. Responsibility was hoisted upon me. Even though I was content with my ragtag group of rejects, our success was noticed rather quickly. 2006 and 2007, my store was ranked in the top 1% of the entire company as a percentage of revenue and sales growth, two things that corporations should love. But sometime during 2008 and 2009, some large changes started taking place. See, we really had no competition. Sure, Best Buy, Play and Trade saw how profitable GameStop was and seek to emulate it, but Blockbuster couldn't manage it, and GameStop was paying down debt and growing incredibly fast. The company looked to itself for competition. The bureaucracy wars began as upper management, and decisions about the value of tracking certain metrics resulted in massive bonuses and payouts. When the stock split in 2010, the company was scrounging for ideas to pad itself from what we all saw was coming. I remember vividly going to a meeting in Chicago and having a vice president ask me what we should focus on next, and I responded, developing or buying cloud computing storage for the future of gaming. OnLive was just turning heads at that point, and Steam was raking in tons of money. I mentioned Stardock Studios to him as an example of something with promise. Later, I found out he had asked somebody what I was talking about. This ultimately led to GameStop buying Impulse from Stardock in 2011. You're welcome? It was during this time that GameStop began rearranging itself. I tried to embrace the digital distribution instead of fighting it by selling digital codes in stores. The company had been squeezing its workforce for years by this point, and dissatisfaction was at an all-time high. People began leaving in mass, and the company sought expert management from outside to fill higher levels in the regional department. The thinking was that retail is retail, no matter what. So why not have a former Joann's exec run things? This was the beginning of GameStop's unraveling. A year after I left, the stock price for GameStop was at a 5-year low in July 2012. But it slowly and inexorably rose over the years as store closures became more common, and the company once again began branching out into other products. GameStop became, now much more than ever, an electronics pawn shop. It was good for profitability, but not really good for growth. Missing forecasts became common. In November of last year, the stock took a huge plunge, which I wrote about at the Quarter Nerds at time. The holiday season looked bleak for GameStop, despite the promise of VR and Xbox One S and the PlayStation Pro systems filling a generation gap. This past month has shown how poorly they did, underperforming their own bleak forecast. 190 stores will be closing, and once again, the stock fell to another five-year low. GME is the most widely debated stock outside of Tesla I can find. Analysts will often point to how it's evolving, has positive cash flow, and has a cheap labor force, and its stock price is a bargain right now. But they have been saying this since last summer, and the stock has never gotten out of the basement. This is, by and large, due to the reality that retail is dying, and places like GameStop will hurt the most. While GameStop scoffed at the idea of Best Buy outcompeting them in video games 5 years ago, the diversification of Best Buy's products and stable labor force has helped slow the downturn of the video game retail sales due to digital distribution. Best Buy, Walmart, and Target can shrink their gaming presence because it's not what they do. GameStop, well, that is what they do. Or was, now that every store is filled head-to-toe with kitschy and cheap merchandise targeting gaming consumers. Things that you used to find in hobby stores or comic shops have made their way back onto GameStop shelves as a means to slow the bleeding, where selling used iPhones did not. It's not a bad move, but one that will have little impact on the future of the company. Going back to retro games was a smart move, but one that might prove less profitable due to the fact that digital distribution of classic games on modern consoles is a thing. GameStop will shrink. It has to. Dan DiMatteo and Paul Raines need to follow Dick Fontaine's example from last summer and retire. The stock price might tick up again slowly over time, and a stable retail space might be held, but only if the company is much smaller. Investors want growth, however, and share prices will reflect that fact, and GameStop has no potential for growth in the digital distribution age. Physical media is almost dead. Game streaming is beginning to see its potential. The digital age happened, and GameStop will cling to the brick and mortar, waiting for an executive to come around and say, "Make video game retailers great again."
That's a great store you got there.
Thanks. Listen, I'm trying to spend my lunch hour with my lady friend here, okay? So, I should be there.
Oh, that's your girlfriend, brother.
Look, if you don't stop gawking at me and get the hell out of here, I'm going to kick your ass, okay?
Hey, haven't you ever heard the phrase, the customer's always right?
Let me tell you something. I'll give you a little secret, okay?
The customer's always an asshole!
That's all I have this week for Sledge on Gaming. Please swing by thecourtofnerds.com and see whatever we're talking about this week. Because, man, I lose track. Thanks for listening, and catchphrase sign-off.